Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, and thank you for joining us at the Cruzy Sisters International Internet Radio Show. Joining me today is my sister and co-host, image consultant, and spa owner, Debbie, and our local girlfriend's Bible teacher and sister in Christ, Tammy Salt. I'm Mrs. U.S. 2002 life coach and youth pastor, Tammy Cruzy. May you be inspired, uplifted, and reminded that you are worth more than diamonds. Now with some special music by our creative audio producer, Tammy Moe. Sandra Wilkinson, our floor director, will now connect you live to our studio audience just north of Seattle, Washington, at the group we call Girlfriends.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, we want to welcome you to Girlfriends, everybody everywhere. This is Tammy Salt. Tammy Arnhem, I think, is running to get her book, so this is going to be a little bit of a different intro. We're going to go ahead and open in prayer. Maybe it'll take long enough. What? We're studying The Gift in You by Dr. Carolyn Leaf. All right, open in prayer. Mary.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for the girlfriends that are here. We thank you for the girlfriends that are listening. We ask that you be with the lesson tonight and help our teachers get the point across that you would have us here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I was hoping for a longer prayer.
Sorry about that.
All right. Tammy has chapter 24. So I think that what I'm going to actually do is, while I'm waiting for her to get here and do that, I'll go ahead and talk about the, because this is our last two chapters, 24 and 25. So I'm going to kind of discuss a little bit about 24. Oh, okay. So chapter 25 is, Tammy's here for chapter 24, never mind. I've stalled all I could.
Oh, prayer. We did intro.
Nice. Prayer. Well, Mary did. No. Oh, okay. No problem.
All right. We are on chapter 24, which is toxic seriousness as a gift blocker. So I am really, really aware of this when I fill my calendar too full. And everything is about, this is when I do this, and this is the day that I do this, and this is the time that I do this, and this is what I do after church on Sunday, and this is what I, and you know what? All it does is rob us of joy. And
Amen.
Not deciding that we're going to have an open schedule unless we're, go. You know, decide that we have an open schedule. So the Bible says that a true friend sets down his life for a friend. And actually putting your life aside means giving time to somebody. If our schedule is so booked that somebody calls us and we cannot be there for them, we need to reevaluate. If it's a time where it's like, nope, you can only call me between this time and this time, hey, I've done that before, and I have missed out on the blessing of helping other people. Every night I try to go on the treadmill at a certain time. And during that time, I answer phone calls. I call people back. So a lot of the time if I'm out of breath and I'm talking to you, it's because I've waited to that certain point to call people back. But they know that my phone is always on. It's always on vibrate. Somebody needs to call me in the middle of the night. Somebody needs to call me up to whatever, because I don't want to miss out on the blessing of being in somebody else's life. They were also talking about the toxic thoughts that we can have when we're not making time for the right thing, making time for fun. How many know that when you're more stressed, you're not as nice to your kids? You're not as good to yourself.
Yeah.
The other thing that they notice is when too full of a schedule or too full of no fun, you eat wrong. People that have not enough time in their hands cannot plan meals. It's very hard to plan meals. I know if I'm on the road, I'm going to end up gaining more weight because you just eat whatever you can. What does a country song say, a 99-cent heart attack?
because you're just grabbing whatever you can that had so much more sodium in it. I mean, that's just one thing. But in Proverbs, it says that a happy heart is good like a medicine. And if any of you know my mom, she's not a very sick person. And matter of fact, I don't even know when she is sick. I don't know if she is. But I was having a back problem, which I never have a back problem, so I'm a real baby if I do, because I never have it. And I was saying, oh, man, my back hurts. And my mom says, oh, I remember that my back hurts so much that I used to lay in the car or lay in the truck, whatever we were traveling in, while your dad was finishing a sermon or doing whatever. And I said, you're kidding. I thought you just went and laid down so we could talk and giggle and laugh. And I had no idea she was in pain. Because she would just, she'd lay there in the seat or the back seat or whatever, and we'd be talking or whatever. She's saying, and her arms are just flying or whatever. I had no idea she was in pain. And she probably wasn't in as much pain as she would have been if she just would have been sitting there complaining, you know, and saying, oh, this hurts, and I'm sure it did. But the happy attitude and the decision to be happy is so good for us. The other thing is it says that laughter quite literally dissolves distressing toxic emotions because you can't feel mad or sad when you laugh. When you laugh and have fun, endorphins are released, which make you feel so great and at peace. Those toxic thoughts can't get out of your brain fast enough. Fun protects your heart. Because when you laugh and enjoy yourself, your body releases chemicals that improve the function of blood vessels and increase blood flow. I had said before that I was speaking at a women's meeting of a couple hundred people a few years ago, and I was telling a testimony. And I told, you know, what had happened and my toxic relationship. And this lady came over to me that she's probably in her 80s, but you can just tell when somebody smiles a lot because it's like their wrinkles go the right way or something. I don't know. It's not that they don't look any older than they or older or younger. It's just that their face looks like there's been joy there and not sorrow. Does anybody know what I mean?
I think that people that smile more, their cheekbones are permanently out right
Yeah,
here.
It does. It
and
helps
they
you.
Have that
absolutely, absolutely. And she came over to me and she says, hey, I want to share something with you. And I said, what? She goes, I really appreciate you sharing your testimony, sharing your heart with us today. And I said, oh, well, good. And so she says, Millie, go get the car. So Millie went out, her friend went and got the car or whatever. And she says to me, I have been married to the most wonderful man for 40 years. And I said, I said, that just makes my heart sing. I just love to hear when people are happy for a long time. And she says, but before that, I was married to the devil for 20 years.
Oh,
and I said, really? Wow, okay. And she says, Millie doesn't know about the devil. But she, you know, she just smiled and looked so happy. And I would have never known what she'd been through. And I remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the Bible where it says when they were cast in the fire and they came out, it said not only were they not burned, but they didn't even smell like smoke. You had no idea of what they'd been through. And I'm like, man, you know, I know some of you. I even know some of you in this room that have been through situations where I would have never thought that that was in your testimony because God has healed you and you've come through and you don't even smell like smoke. You literally don't even smell like smoke. And God has helped that. And I remember thinking that, man, God, you have been so good to me. You've been so good. And I was out gardening just about a year after I told that first testimony to that group of people. And my neighbor came out, and she was talking to me, and she found out that her husband was having an affair. And I shared with her a little bit of my testimony, and she says, you're kidding. She says, I just figured you and Scott had met in high school, and he was a football player, and you were a cheerleader, and you guys have just been together, you know, your whole life. And I cracked a smile, and how I say in my testimony is, I felt like all of my wrinkles were going the right way. You know, I felt like as I'm growing old with my husband, I'm saying, you know, God has been so good to me that the good is so much better than the bad, that it outweighs it 110%. You know, so this week, really evaluate. Are there toxic emotions and feelings and thoughts getting into our head because we have not made time, or I should say, we have not allowed time to be who God intended us to be? And that is people with joy.
I was in my car this afternoon with Bailey and his friend Kaylee, and they were playing at the park. We came over a little bit early, and I was doing some studying because I feel like that's all I do is study. And she came over, and she had me roll down my window, and she says, "Will you come over here for a second?" And I thought, oh, great, somebody got hurt, somebody's fighting, you know, and automatically, yes, I will come over there. And so I put on my supermom outfit, and I went over there, and I said, "What?" And she says, "Nothing, we just want you to play with us." And I was like, oh, how? You know, will you push us on this? Will you do this? Will you help us with this? Will you watch me? Just watch this, you know. And I'm just like, oh, yeah. And it was so funny because I was like, I have to go play because that's what I'm talking about is having fun and being able to have fun. And what are the things that you enjoy? And you cannot make money as an excuse because so many things are free. There's so much time to go with our kids or our grandkids or someone with special needs or somebody that you breathe life into. And you will find out, those of you that have gone to Mexico with us will find out, that when we give to other people, our hearts and our spirits are given to. And we go away with the joy that is free. And why? Because we're working in our talent. We're doing what we should do. We're enjoying it. And how many know that if you could do exactly what you're good at, exactly what you do right now when you're not paid, imagine if that was your job. Well, let me tell you something. As far as what this book says, and as far as what I know God wants to bring joy in our life, that is your job. That is your job, to be the best you can be and enjoy doing what you're doing, because guess what? It's easier. I've recently changed my degree from my master's degree in communication disorders. I'm changing it when I go to grad school for psychology instead of speech therapy, because I realized after 5 years of hard work, psychology is easier for me. It's easier for me.
I'm your friend.
Behavioral analyst is what I'm going to go to school, hopefully at the UW for, is I enjoy it. It's easy. It makes sense. And I need to look and see, hey, for elective in summer when I take my elective, I take psychology classes. These are required classes to other people. But I enjoy it. I'm good at it. And this is what God intended our talents to be. I know that if I want a skit, a drama, a musical, a dance, or whatever, I go to Lisa like that. You know what? No matter how busy she is, she will get it done, and she will be excellent at it because those are her gifts. She enjoys doing it. And could you imagine if I said, do this, and I would pay you $500,000 to do it? It's like, you're kidding, right? You would never even have to pay me because I love it so much. Now, I'll take the money.
Yeah, no, don't get me wrong.
But you'll never have to pay me because my heart is being paid. What are those things? What are those things right now that you would say no one would ever have to pay me for because I love it so much? What are the electives in your life? And a lot of the time, those are your talents. So food for thought. And the last thing is,
have you ever heard that story that was going on Facebook about this boy who was at work, this teenage boy, and he was working, I think it was like Walmart or something like that, and this old lady that was working, this other lady, was sitting there yelling at this boy that was working behind the counter because he was like flimsy and kept dropping stuff. And so this lady that was behind her was a Christian lady, and she walked up and she's like, "Just kill me, kindness, Noah. I'm so sorry for that." And he just started bawling. His mom died that morning, but he couldn't take the day off because he couldn't afford it.
Wow.
So it just goes to show, like, you don't know what the people around you are going through.
Right.
So acting cranky, it's not going to do damage to, you know, anybody else but yourself, because now she looks like a complete jerk. Yeah.
Our next study is talking about the lies women believe and the truth that will set them free. And I've already started this study with other people in Kitsap County. And one thing, and that was a good point, Sandra, that you brought up you didn't realize, was he was so in debt that he couldn't do what his heart desire was for the day. And so the first thing that happens to us is we start believing a lie. And in this lie is, I need more to be happier. I need to have more to be happier. I need to live in a bigger home. I need to have more of this stuff. I need to drive a better car, and then get myself so far up in debt and do it again and again and again. And I don't even realize that I've been taken captive by a lie. And what happens is we become imprisoned in ourselves. And when we do this, whether it's financially or with food or with any type relationships or with addiction or with anything else is we're unable to fulfill what God has called us to do. And that is why so many times when these thoughts get into our head, this is what I need to do right now because it feels good and it's cool. This, we have to reevaluate and we have to take each other accountable and say, Mary, this is a problem I have. I spend too much money. I do, and I need to pray with you about this. Or, you know, Cindy, this is my problem, is I overeat when I'm stressed. And be able, the Bible says, to bear one another's burden, and that's how we fulfill his love. You know, so how do we do that? How do we keep accountable so these lies don't overtake us?
Well, that's like working and going to church. Like when I started working at a different store when I was back when I worked, I told Lydia, I was like, you schedule me for a Wednesday night or anytime on Sunday, and I won't come. I can get a new job, but I can't pay God back for missing church.
Yeah, that's good.
So I won't be here.
That's good. Tam.
All right, so I'm on number 25, and the toxic gift blocker here is unforgiveness.
That's a hard one.
It is. It's really hard, and I'm going to go into a little more detail. After learning about the other 11 gift blockers, it may seem a little overwhelming that there is such an opportunity for toxic seeds to be planted in our lives. That's why the last gift blocker is so important, uprooting toxic unforgiveness and transplanting forgiveness in its place. How many times have you had to do that in your life? I mean, to a serious degree. I'm not talking about Mary, you know, she cut me off in line and, you know, it really ticked me off because I'm in a bad mood or whatever, and I'm forgiving her. Of course, she needs to forgive me for being such a sourpuss. But the point is, I'm talking about some of the serious stuff that people have gone through, you know, sexual assault, you know, abuse. I mean, these are heavy things to deal with yourself, let alone to forgive somebody else.
Absolutely.
And I remember that one of my assaulters, that doesn't sound right, but anyways.
Abusers.
Abusers.
Let's use abusers.
Was dying. And I did not want to be anywhere around him. And I was not following God at all. But I did go in and I drew him a rose. And I pinned it on his ceiling. Do you remember that? And I pinned it on his ceiling and it was yellow. And I told him, and I don't know if he was in his right mind enough to realize what I was doing, but it meant something to me, and that's all that mattered. And I told him I forgave him. I didn't at the time. And I say that quite seriously. I wasn't ready to forgive him at the time, but the time was now.
Right.
I think he died within 24 hours of that, something like that. And but it was time. I still had to deal with it. But it brought it in the forefront. And that's something else that this mentions. You know, it says that when you have toxic seeds of unforgiveness that are planted in the soil of fear and are being constantly watered by constantly talking about it, I want to make it really, really clear. Talking to somebody that can help you with emotions that you don't know how to handle or feelings that you don't know how to handle is extremely important. The talk that this chapter is talking about is me talking to Mary about, oh, Mary, you know, I just can't believe I can't believe he hit me again. Well, shut up and do something about it. I've been abused for many, many, many years, not currently, but I was abused for many, many years, and I understand why you don't do something about it sometimes. So don't get me wrong when I say that. I'm saying that at some point you have to come to a point in your life where you're going to deal with it, whatever way that is. So please don't misunderstand this chapter in saying that talking about it and discussing it is it does not mean that talking with a professional or somebody, a spiritual leader or God, that this is not what we're talking about. Definitely put it on God. Put your anger and your resentment and your unforgiveness on God, and he's the only one that can give you the power to forgive somebody,
right,
especially of those heavy, heavy sins against you. We are human. So we are flawed. And the good thing about that is it's expected, okay?
Right.
The bad thing is God gave us free will. And I say that's a bad thing because it would be so much easier if he didn't. And I was just a little robot. But flip side of that, look at how different personalities we have in this room. I can't – my niece and I are very much alike, except for she argues about everything and I don't. And And so, you know, I mean, we can see comparisons, but yet I don't know anybody in my life that is exactly like somebody else. And there's different parts of everybody that I love so much. And
yeah.
if God didn't give us free will, we would lose those personalities.
Right.
We would lose that identity.
Pastor Billy says he would know which wife to go home with if they were all looked the same and acted the same and sounded the same.
If they were all like my mother, the world would be a better place.
Yeah. Remember what she said in earlier chapters. Each time something is brought into conscious, it will change in some way by getting better or worse. And it's your decision
right.
on if it's going to get better or worse. Remember, it also brings in feeling. And so it's a chemical reaction. There's feeling. There's emotion. I see those sunglasses on Mary's head, and I remember I wore those sunglasses when I was in a really bad car accident, those exact sunglasses. And it brings this in. Now, how I deal with it and how I continue to deal with it every time I see those sunglasses is going to change each time, and you can change it to the positive and make new growth. What I find interesting is the hardest person for us to forgive is ourselves. I find that I hold myself responsible for things that I had no responsibility in. I was too young to be responsible for it. I was too young to even have to know what that responsibility was. But yet, I still punish myself for it because I can't punish anybody else.
Right.
And I know that that's what it is in the end, but knowing that is half the battle. So how do you forgive yourself for something that's unforgivable? And I put air quotations there. Everything's forgivable. As much as I hate to say that, considering we discussed the animal and the kid that last couple, 3 weeks ago. God made everything forgivable. Now, that doesn't mean you forget. That doesn't mean that it doesn't affect you. It doesn't mean that it didn't hurt or that it doesn't scar your heart. But you can choose not to carry that burden.
Right.
Because the only person it affects is you.
Right.
I guarantee you, if I'm ticked at Mary, and I'm going to use Mary because I've been picking on her all day.
Yeah.
I know.
Always. Always.
I know.
I know. Well, that's what happened. She didn't want one.
I wanted a 20-second one. if Mary has so hurt me,
yeah.
I can forgive her.
Yeah.
But I don't have to allow her into my life in that way anymore. I don't
right.
have to give myself unprotected to her.
Right.
I can say, Mary, you know, I forgive you for that because she needs me. Well, and not only that, I'm carrying this burden and this hatred and this pain along with me every day. Do you think Mary has a clue?
Yeah. A lot of times it's a flip on something.
Yeah.
My mom has had anger for years. And the other day, I felt led to talk to her about this anger. And I said, Mom, you had a pretty bad childhood, didn't you? And she said, yes. And I said, your cousin picked on you a lot, didn't he? She was illegitimate back in 1931. I mean, that is a stigma in itself. But her cousins used to tease her that she would never get married. I don't know about her sisters, but I know her cousins did. And so I said, Mom, they were children like you when that happened. They don't even remember it.
Now,
what do you say we ask God to forgive them? And she said, I'd like to do that.
Oh.
And I've never prayed with her like this before where I felt her input. But she held my hand. And the whole time we were praying, she's like, yes, Lord, I need to do this, Lord. I want this today, Lord. You know, it was so positive. And since then,
wow.
of course, where she's at, there's a lot of people in way worse shape than her. And I'm hearing her say, oh, I just feel so bad for that person. I just feel, I'm not hearing her talking
yeah.
about herself anymore.
Yeah.
And so, you know,
and
I
that's pretty well
that, but that was forgiving
something.
She's been carrying that
yeah.
for
it is.
Wow.
And,
yes.
and you know, and that just goes to show
you. She told me years ago that her sisters too, because of the way
her stepdad treated her,
right.
it rubbed off on to
wow.
the stepsister
yeah.
or the half-sister.
Yeah,
right.
And, you know, that just goes to show you that it doesn't matter how old you are or
right.
what mental condition you are, because grandma's not doing well mentally.
Right.
You can recognize that you have that burden of unforgiveness and hatred or what have you, and you can choose to release it.
And just on the flip side of that, the week before I was visiting with her, and we were watching Dancing with the Stars. And before that release, where she actually was worried about other people, she'd be watching the girls dancing. She's like, something bad has to happen to that person. She looks too pretty.
Oh,
you know, and things
yeah.
like that. And very
yeah.
evil sounding and very, very, if somebody looked too good or did too good
yeah.
or whatever, then something bad needed to happen to that person because
yeah.
they're bad people.
So see the flip side?
Yeah.
And now she's feeling sorry for people.
I did a sinner's prayer with her the other day.
Yeah.
Again, I know you did too. And she was laying in bed, and I was looking at Diane's phone, and I said, oh, there's that Karen Hall again. And she goes, she's really crazy.
And
it's her, and she is Karen. Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
All these,
that's funny.
All these will harm you mentally, physically, if you hang on to them.
Yep.
They become toxic unforgiveness. Sometimes it's so difficult to let go of those unbelievable and unjust things that happen to you. We feel that if we don't nurse them, they won't get better. But as we nurse them, what do? They grow.
Set your skinny butt down.
I can't. My back hurts.
She's
really
down. Double kidney.
She's looking good. Yeah.
The neuroplasticity of the brain will grow the toxic unforgiveness on an even deeper root, and the branches will get even more persuasive. Pervasive, much the way of a briar will choke out plants in a garden if not controlled. And, I mean, haven't you seen that in people? Those
mm-hmm.
people that are so just so angry.
Right.
And, you know, Grandma's a perfect example. We've seen her continually get angrier and angrier and angrier. And, of course, she's afflicted by a mental disease at this point. But it brings out that true emotion, and it's this raw childlike
emotion.
Absolutely.
And so, unfortunately, you know, you've got such fiery hatred, and you've got to quench it. And how do you quench it? We quench it with God. Well, how do you quench it with God when you're so broken that you just want to spit fire?
Yeah.
Well, that's where we come in. You know, we're able to pray over people, and we're able to pray for them, and we're able to walk for them and drag them if we have to.
Sure.
Exactly. You know, exactly. I mean, like Tammy was saying, you know, people that have gone through things that she looks at and she's like, I can't believe you ever went through that, because looking at you, you don't look like you have a scar wound.
Yeah.
And, you know, that what an amazing testimony that is. And remember, you know, not the worldly approach is to indulge, speak about, tear apart, and wallow. But this does not bring healing. It brings destruction. Because all the neurological and neurochemical reactions take place in your body. When we need to acknowledge and repent for hanging on, and then we need to forgive. Forgiveness is not excusing the behavior, but it's placing the situation in God's hands.
Yeah.
And taking that acid from our bodies. This does not mean you bury your head and say, I don't need to deal with this because it's in God's hands. You still need to deal with how you process that emotion and how you handle your reaction and how you deal with the
Well, we have run out of studio time this week, but we want to say thank you for joining us. We never close out a service or a program without giving people the opportunity accepting Christ as their personal Savior. It's as easy as ABC. A, acknowledge you're a sinner. B, believe Christ died for you. And C, confess him openly. That's all Christ asked us to do. You can repeat a simple prayer like this. Dear Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins. Please forgive me of them now. Please come into my heart and my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, we would be honored to know. Please call us at Cruzy Brothers main office, 1-800-800-6121. That's 1-800-800-6121. And we would be honored to talk to you. We want to thank you for joining us today, our sponsors of the Cruzy Brothers World Outreach, celebrating over 40 years on consecutive television and radio. Our executive director, Reverend Stanley Rowe, and we want to thank our floor directors, Sandra Wilkinson. Until next time, may God richly bless you.